Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is Spanish colonial artist Carlos Otero from Albuquerque, member of the Spanish Colonial Arts Society. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. Let's find out, what is Spanish Colonial Arts Society?
Well, the Spanish Colonial Arts Society is something that came together 1926. In 1925, a group of people started brainstorming to bring this together to collect, to preserve, to maintain, and also to educate the public about Spanish colonial artifacts, the saints, the furniture. There's several different categories that several artists do. Each artist is juried into their categories, and so that's what we've been doing, and it has a long history. So now, this year, it was our second year in Las Cruces.
And what type of art do you do?
My specialty, I got juried into doing bultos, which is carving sculpture in the round of santos, relief work. You can do low relief or high relief santos, and also retablos.
What are retablos?
Okay, retablos are paintings on a flat board, and everything that we do with our paints, we use the old techniques, grinding down our own pigments. In my case, I like to use mineral pigments because they're forever. Some people use vegetable dyes, which require a little bit more to make them more permanent.
What else is required?
Well, one of the things that is encouraged, not that they are all requirements, but they're encouraged to follow the tradition of our ancestors and to also follow and study the period of the Golden Age of Santero art, which was from the 1700s to the late 1800s. And we have the master Santeros that are in our museums, in our books, and because of these studies that have been done since 1926, now we know what they did, how they did it. And so that's what we try to do and revive those methods and the techniques.
Besides retablos, paintings, bultos, what other type of art and artists belong to the Spanish Colonial Arts Society?
Well, there's so many categories. There's probably about 20 categories. Each artist, and especially with the new ones coming in, we encourage them to always study what they do. If there's a passion for it, they have to get on the ball and really do the research, do the historical background on the type of work that they do so that they can follow it and follow those techniques. In these categories that we have silver and gold, filigree, we have iron work. What I do is retablo, bulto, and relief. We have colcha. It's a technique of stitching. And there's tin workers. There are furniture makers. There are so many categories that are involved. And if someone can prove that it's been a tradition in the province of New Mexico since 1598, if there's some category that is not included in this long list, then they can do a research and a study and turn it into the Standards Committee so that they can look at it to see. And there are specialists, and I know that here in Las Cruces you have people at New Mexico State, so that makes it a little easier to go to the department to look at some of these things that are historical, to see if there's a category that maybe we don't have. If the research is done and they can prove that it was a tradition in New Mexico, then it's something to look at to get started with.
There are weavers, and what else you have? Colchas are quilts.
It's not quite a quilt, but we do have colcha, which is a stitch. It's an old stitch that was used when and especially during that time, way back when there wasn't the materials that were needed in New Mexico, so they would improvise and use. When there wasn't any tin in New Mexico and it's hard to find, they depended on the tin cans that came in through the Santa Fe Trail or a little earlier Camino Real, but there was very little of that. So they would pound them out, flatten them out, and then create nichos and create pieces for candle holders and candelabras and picture frames. And also there was, within these categories, there's a lot of things that were functional that were needed, like the time when there was no electricity. So they created lamps, they created candle holders, candelabras, which they were beautiful pieces. They were hang on the ceilings of buildings and then bring them down with a rope. You know, they had candles on them, And so that's where the word Candelaria comes from. It's from the candles that were placed on those pieces.
Why is it important to keep this type of art alive?
Well, one of the most important things is because most of us are called Santero artists. And it's important because, you know, it's a type of art that transcends the visual, the beauty of the work. It transcends it into a more important part, where the religious spirituality that has a history. When you do an image of the iconography of the Santos, you're looking at real people in real time that set a standard of morality for all these generations past to the beginning of Christianity and before that, because we have, and we're within the Catholic Church, 2,000 years of history, of Old Testament history, that before Christianity began. So recreating and doing the images of these Santos in real time, it's like a history, and it's also a memorial to these people that were ready to do what they needed to do to make a good example, to help us to be a better person. And we are who we are because of these people.
And how do the youth receive this, and are they interested in keeping it alive?
They are, and you know, a big part of what we do is education. It started in Santa Fe, and it stayed in Santa Fe till a few years ago. We brought it to Albuquerque, and we were received with open arms, and just like in Las Cruces a year ago. We had a fantastic, groundbreaking reception with a lot of people involved from Las Cruces that were just fantastic. The resources here that are there, and it's making the connections. And those people that were there in the meetings that we held before the show were really instrumental in keeping us connected and tapping into those resources to make it a much better thing. Last year was one thing. This year it was improved because we saw that it was so crowded. Sometimes it was a little congested for people who go around and see the work. So this year, the Hotel Encanto, the manager, opened it up. The whole hotel, which is very generous, provided even lower rates for artists. And so all of that, it's what makes it a go and makes it better. Better for the people, the visitors that are coming to see the art, and also to bring people in that are willing to stay in Las Cruces and spend some money on good for the economy, but it helps the artists, bringing it across and educating our youth. I started out with a lecture on Saturday morning so we could draw from these people that are interested in getting in, providing the information and the guidelines to get into and how to be a Spanish colonial artist.
And how do you become a Spanish colonial artist?
Well, you first have to have the passion to do the work, to understand the history of whatever it is you want to do, and then to look at those guidelines and see and understand what these ancestors, these master artists from that period were doing, so we can try to follow the techniques, the methods, the materials, and also understanding the history of our people, because this is about representing New Mexico. You do have to be one-fourth Hispanic to belong to this market organization. One of the things that we must mention is that juring into Spanish Colonial Art Society is only one time during the year, and that's usually in February, when the person that is going to jury has to have three pieces ready and well-prepared to present to the judges. And then they'll decide if you can get in, and also you'll know from them, usually within a month, if the work is good quality and if you followed all the guidelines. And all the guidelines are ready for you whenever you're ready to start. One of the things that we're trying to do, and especially through education and through some of the lectures, is to try to include artists that are from the areas of Las Cruces or Silver City or all of the areas here south of the Jornada del Muerto, because, you know, the tradition has developed a little differently on this side than that side. And there are artists that are already familiar with these categories that might want to participate and good jury some of their work. It's just understanding the guidelines, and you would need a mentor from the people that are already doing the art so that you could get in. That's one of the things that we like to say, is that in each category there are people doing it, and we have mentors in each category to help you with those guidelines.
So were there already a Spanish colonial artists here in southern New Mexico?
There are many Spanish colonial artists in southern New Mexico. The ones that are juried into, that's a different story. We have Joseph Chavez, who's a muralist and a hide painter, and he does some good work. Tomasita Rodriguez is also doing miniature bultitos. And those are the two that I know. And I know there's a lot of talent and a lot of Spanish colonial artists. It's just that they're not juried into market yet. And we're hoping to draw some of those into market now that we're here in Las Cruces.
Now, you mentioned there were about 20 different categories. And is there a website that they can find some of this information?
Getting into Spanish colonial arts on your website, it would probably get you to, and you can even request particular artists. If you know the names of some of these artists, you can tap into if you like their work and or the particular category. But Spanish colonial arts will give you a lot of iconography that you can look at. And sometimes looking and coming to our show, particularly, you get real inspired by looking at this work, which is museum quality is what we're expected to do. So we're always growing, always expanding, trying to make it better. And the competition sometimes is what makes it better, as we have a lot of people, categories that are real full and some categories that they really need to work on. Jewelry making, silver and gold, filigree is something that you don't see too much in New Mexico, and now bringing it back because it is about revival of some of this work that is being lost. To teach about that and to teach about our history and our ancestors and who was doing it and when and where and all that.
Well, some of the artists, maybe their parents didn't do it or their grandparents didn't do it, so that's something that they've had an interest to start on their own. But what is it that they have to prove that their families were of Hispanic origin?
Basically, if you can document that you are 1/4 Hispanic, you can get into market.
Because I saw that there were some very young artists that they had some artwork.
Let me say something about getting the youth artists in, because the youth artists don't have to jury. The youth artists, all they need is to get a mentor. And they're, all of us are there. The thing is right now is that most of us are from the other side of the Jornada, down from Santa Fe, and it is kind of far. So we have to tap into some of the artists that are here, or maybe if they can somehow get somebody to mentor them when they go down there into their particular craft, into the particular category. And that way, the youth don't have to jury, so long as they have a mentor, because they have to be taught the basics of how to do it right and all the guidelines. There's no exception for them. No more than there is for the adults. They all have to follow the guidelines of doing it traditionally the way it was done. And so that's basically what it's about. Yeah.
So there's a lot to learn about Spanish colonial arts. Thank you so much for joining me on Puentes. You are definitely a bridge to the community.
Muchísimas gracias. Un placer estar con ustedes. And again, it's been a pleasure, and especially sharing some of this with you, because we do want to draw from the here in Las Cruces and from all the surrounding communities. If you're interested, you can call me, Carlos Otero. I'm in Albuquerque, 505-792-0393. Get a hold of me there, and if you have an interest, we'll go ahead and give you the information you need. 505-792-0393.
Okay, thank you very much. Carlos Otero, Spanish colonial artist from Albuquerque and member of the Spanish Colonial Arts Society. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.